In the foggy valley, the people that Merlin pulled to him trained. They trained upon themselves, first of all. And then they went out into the countryside and they began to change the philosophy or the ideas of the English nation, which in those days was not a nation, really. It was more a group of shires or what would today would be called counties. But even the counties were very fragmented, and a lord, you know, would own a few 10,000s of acres, and he would defend it as best he could, and you know, he would defend against others, and it was a fragmented group or association. The what was then before really the English nation was born. But anyway, these students or these this band of people that was a part of Merlin went out, and they went into the villages and they began to teach people healing. They taught people how to align to the naturalness of nature. So they taught agriculture. They taught people more efficient ways of working with the land. So more efficient ways of rearing animals, husbandry, of hunting and fishing and so on. And they also taught the people a balance of self, a non-judgmental, non-infringing balance that they felt would help the nation. And what happened basically was that the influence of this group began to, like, bring to England a peace and a calm that hadn't been felt for many hundreds of years. It wasn't as if the warring or the trouble or the strife between the tribal peoples and so on got a lot less, but there was a confidence, a sort of a feeling that there was a calm, even though it was still right in the heart of the Dark Ages. It was still right in the middle of those troubled times. As this group went out, they began to change what was out there. You see, you have to remember that it was a time when literally in England and in France and in Europe and so on, there were like marauding groups of bandits. They were knights, or they would be considered today like knights, but they weren't good knights. They were literally villains. And they would like trot around in groups of like 20 or 30, and they would enter a village and they would rob it and pillage it, or they would wait for a village to reap their crops. And then in August, September, these knights would literally just come in and take and plunder and loot these villages. And so it was a time of intense negativity and a time when man had fallen into like a barbaric state. The Brotherhood, or the inner energy that guides the destiny of the world, seeing this and knowing that basically speaking, man has to be individual, man has to have balance, allowed the energy of Merlin to be there. It was as if Merlin was there because the Brotherhood wanted him to be there, and the Brotherhood was there because the times were needed it. And so there was like one more infusion of energy. It's difficult in words to describe the immensity of that kind of power, but you're looking at an initiate whose energy could be felt for hundreds and hundreds of miles, who in a meditation could sit and project a thought and change somebody just by thinking about them. An initiate who, within his crystal cave, could meditate upon his students, and he would be able, in a vision, in an inner vision, perceive them no matter where they were. Now today we would need technology for that, but in those days he had that power. And any of you that have ever worked in trance states or have developed deeply with meditation or with working upon your own self-discipline, you'll know that it is possible to perceive at a distance. At the beginning, it comes across as a feeling, because the feeling energy coming into the heart chakra is slower than the clairvoyant energy coming into the third eye chakra. And so it's possible to feel at a distance. But little by little, if you develop your power, you'll be able to, within a trance state, perceive what is going on thousands and thousands of miles away. And this is how Merlin, inside his cave, watched the balance and the imbalance of the students or of the energy that he let out into the world. For he was responsible for that energy, and he knew, he understood its power. Merlin was totally different to anybody else that had been for, as I said, 1,000 years. It was as if his energy was literally traversing backwards in time. He had gone beyond the earth plane through his own personal power, and then in an act of, let's say, dedication, or perhaps you might want to use the word sacrifice, or feeling that perhaps the karmic energy of the previous incarnation where he had infringed needed to be resolved, he volunteered to come back. And so it was as if he had gone beyond the earth plane and had come back inside of it. He could not involve himself deeply with the people, but he could come forward, grant an inspiration, and teach. Okay, let us look at what this dimension of Merlin actually is on an energy level. Because the Merlin energy is here today. It's available today. Basically, when a group of individuals come together in dedication, in understanding that they are this power within, this light force within, that they're not their body or their mind or their racial upbringing, what happens is that a power begins to develop. Merlin knew how to get the best from each one of his students. He could watch them. And he knew who had to be with you, who had to be involved in healing, who was going to be a great knight, who was going to be a person that would teach farming or husbandry of one kind or another. He understood the energy, and he could create a group of people that were basically limitless. They were disciplined, but limitless at the same time. In that foggy valley, it was as if the power of Merlin made it invisible. It was there, but people didn't see it. In the same way, if you raise your energy so high, you become so disciplined, you become such a master of metaphysical power, you will reach a point where people will not see you, unless you want them to. It is as if, within your own lifetime, you will enter another dimension that is right here in the physical plane, that permeates the physical plane, and yet is not a part of the physical plane. It takes a great amount of dedication, because to become that amount of energy, you have to leave the physical world a long way away, which means that you have to be able to come in control of sexuality. You have to understand and have money under control. You have to go beyond the limitations of your upbringing. And you have to totally and absolutely only accept the limitlessness that's within you. And we find that hard, because we'll get one thing together and then we'll trip on another. And then we'll get that together and we'll go back and trip on the first one. And we have a tendency to constantly fall back into the physical. That is why the brotherhood, or this divine light that guides the destiny of the world, pushes these influxes of energy through. Because basically speaking, the evolution of the physical plane has a way of winding down. It's as if the physicalness and of man bumping up against man, so to speak, winds down his energy. And when there is a lack of inspiration, a lack of feeling in mankind that there is a divine energy beyond day-to-day living, it's then that man falls into a sort of a barbaric ways. And the evolution of mankind is slowed up because of that. And so at the end of the Dark Ages, that divine light, the Brotherhood we'll call it perhaps, that pushed through this power and created an energy that Merlin was able to use. Merlin, in turn, created the dimension in the foggy valley. When these people came to Merlin, he continued to teach them. He continued to give them discipline. They spent their time training horses. They would blindfold the horses, and they would run them in and out of the briar bushes. So they got so expert at it that the horse would move without you having to literally control it. It would be as if it would be almost like a circus or a performing horse, where the horses, having run at speed through these briar bushes for a number of years, knew the valley backwards, and they could run in and out of the valley. And that was one further part of the valley's protection, that the people could move into that valley at high speed, and others, not being familiar with it, not understanding it, would have to look for a way through. Meanwhile, Merlin and his people, they could just gallop through this valley in the fog, and the horses, having done it blindfolded so many times, were taught to move in and out of the valley. Merlin pulled these people together on a regular basis, and within the crystal cave, taught them energy. Crystal, as you will know, is a communicating energy. At this time, it is changing the evolution of the world, because the silicone chip has allowed us to store and retain and access vast amounts of information instantaneously. But even then, in those days, the crystal was known to have that power, to have that communicating power. And it was through the crystal cave and through the power of nature that Merlin retained his balance. It was said that he had the ability to enter in and out of the physical plane through the energy of nature, through a tree. It was said that he would step into the tree. Whether he stepped into the tree physically, or whether he stepped out of the physical plane and entered into the etheric vibration of the tree, which I feel is more likely, doesn't really matter. What was being said was, here is a man, here is an initiate, that has such a strong alignment to nature. He has such a pure understanding of the I Am, that infinite energy within, that he can step in and out of dimensions. He can perceive the physical plane, but he can see and perceive the dimensions that permeate the physical plane. Remember one thing. As your perception grows, as you become a part of these worlds that I talk about, you have to understand that that perception does not give you like an invincible quality. It doesn't like pay the rent. If you can see auras, what does it get you? It doesn't get you anything that you don't have now. It's interesting, but the more you go deeply within yourself, the more you'll perceive. But as you perceive energy, you will not be able to infringe. So if you see something in somebody's aura, you will not be able to walk up to them and say, I've seen this, because that is an infringement. If you perceive something about the destiny of a town, you cannot go up to the town and say, I see that in 6 months' time, these hordes of Mongols are going to come down from the north and wipe out your village. You're not allowed to do that. And as you become more and more and more a part of other dimensions, you will understand that the energy is there for your teaching. It is not an energy that you can use to change the people or to change the world. And Merlin, having that power, had to allow his students the time to literally develop themselves. And when they made mistakes, he had to allow them to make the mistakes. Almost as if you would allow a small child to burn himself so that he understands that fire is hot. Or that you would allow a small child to fall over so that he began to understand the balance of the muscles in the leg and how standing up and walking feels. And Merlin had the same kind of dilemma. He could have easily centered and made the people do what he wanted. But understanding energy, he had to lead them inwards, so to speak, pulling them to the foggy valley and then leading them within themselves, but allowing each person their own individuality, which is sacrosanct. You see, you can't pull a person who is a great individual and then try to manipulate them to be good or to have a different energy pattern than the one they have, because you're automatically negating that very individuality, which is their strength. So Merlin had that as a teacher. He had that problem of having to work with the people. The leader of the group that were pulled to the Foggy Valley, which later became known as Camelot, his name was later given as Arthur. Again, Arthur was not Arthur's real name, but what his name was didn't really matter. He led this small band. He was strong, and he was the one that Merlin personally taught. Merlin taught Arthur energy. He taught Arthur how to put his energy inside a bird and feel being a bird. How to put his energy inside a tree and feel and experience the feeling of being a tree. He taught Arthur energy. He taught Arthur power. And Arthur became a metaphysical force unto himself. His energy went beyond Camelot, and when he went out into the land, guided by Merlin, on these quests and on these programs that Merlin had thought up for changing the country, Arthur became legendary in his own time. People spoke of him as this great knight that had great power, and Arthur traveled the land. But one thing that's interesting is that Arthur never became the king of the country. He was only ever the king or the physical leader of the small band, Merlin being the metaphysical or mystical leader of the band, and Arthur being, let's say, the physical leader of the band. He traveled the country, he traveled beyond England's borders, and he allowed this continuation of this energy. These knights, or these people that were part of Camelot, were basically like missionaries. But rather than the missionaries of the current age that go off to Africa and infringe upon the people, saying to them, your tribal ways are no good, what you're doing is not okay, you need to come forward here and listen to my teaching, my book. What these missionaries did was, those people from Camelot, they taught the people by leading them through example, leading them through the excellence. And little by little, the teaching of Merlin, the teaching of, let's say, the rule of law, began to become what was later known as chivalry. It was like Merlin had taught these knights that their word was law, that if they gave their word, they had to follow through. They had to follow through under pain of death. And so the knights did not give their word unless they absolutely were able to deliver. And so if they entered a village and the villagers asked the knight to overthrow a tyrant, the knight would consider the energy of the situation, his power, what he had, what he didn't have, and he would say to the villagers, I'll do it. I will overthrow this tyrant and we will restore order here in the village. And when he gave his word, the villagers knew that he would follow through. And when he followed through and he completed one act or one thing, his energy spread. And that's what happened to Arthur. His power began to spread because for the first time in many hundreds of years, here was a man with a group of people, and when they said they'd do something, they would do it. And they were there for the good of the people. They were there to create energy. They were not there to pillage and to rob and to literally take away from the people. They were there to give something back to the people. Merlin, in the early days of his career, when he was traveling around England, met a young girl. She had a foreign accent. She wasn't English. He met her by the roadside, and she was there. She was lonely, and she was crying. And he approached her, and he basically asked her what was wrong, and healed her and comforted her. Merlin, with this young girl, had a sexual relationship. In that sexual relationship that he had with her, she conceived. And when she did, Merlin left the girl and went on his travels. It was not an infringement upon her, because she knew and she accepted it. But she went on and she bore a child that was basically Merlin's child. Merlin knew that power would come back. The reason that Merlin had that sexual relationship was that the power that Merlin worked with, the power of the initiate, so to speak, was so high, was so pure, was so strong, that that power needs a grounding in the physical in order for it to work. Think of it like this. If you have a very high energy yourself personally, and you want to go out and teach people, if you teach them from such a high energy that nobody knows what the hell you're talking about, what is your impact? What is your ability to create? None at all. And so Merlin, knowing that this energy had to be dissipated, had this sexual relationship, and it was a creation that Merlin knew about. Now, please go to the second tape.